The word spread quickly. Within an hour, our plan to assault Castle Anorak was the top story on every single news feed, accompanied by headlines like, "Gunters declare all-out war on the Sixers," and "Top Gunters accuse IOI of kidnapping and murder," and "Is the hunt for Halliday's egg finally over?" Some of the news feeds were already running the video clip of Diato's murder I'd sent them, along with the text of Sorrento's memo, citing an anonymous source for both. So far, IOI had declined to comment on either. By now, Sorrento would know I'd somehow gained access to the Sixers' private database. I wished I could see his face when he learned how I'd done it, that I'd spent an entire week just a few floors below his office. I spent the next few hours outfitting my avatar and preparing myself mentally for what was to come. When I could no longer keep my eyes open, I decided to catch a quick nap while I waited for H to arrive. I disabled the auto logout feature on my account, then drifted off in the haptic chair with my new jacket draped over me as a blanket, clutching in one hand the pistol I'd purchased earlier that day. I woke with a start sometime later to the sound of H's ringtone. He was calling to let me know he'd arrived outside. I climbed out of the rig, collected my things, and returned the rented gear at the front desk. When I stepped out into the street, I saw that night had fallen. The frozen air hit me like a bucket of ice water. H's tiny RV was just a few yards away, parked at the curb. It was a mocha-colored Sunrider, about 20 feet long and at least 2 decades old. A patchwork of solar cells covered the RV's roof and most of its body, along with a liberal amount of rust. The windows were tinted black, so I couldn't see inside. I took a deep breath and crossed the slush-covered sidewalk, feeling a strange combination of dread and excitement. As I approached the RV, a door near the center of the right side slid open and a short stepladder extended to the pavement. I climbed inside, and the door slid shut behind me. I found myself in the RV's tiny kitchen. It was dark, except for the running lights set into the carpeted floor. To my left, I saw a small bedroom area at the back, wedged into a loft above the RV's battery compartment. I turned and walked slowly across the darkened kitchen, then pulled back the beaded curtain covering the doorway to the cab. A heavy-set African-American girl sat in the RV's driver's seat, clutching the wheel tightly and staring straight ahead. She was about my age, with short, kinky hair and chocolate-colored skin that appeared iridescent in the soft glow of the dashboard indicators. She was wearing a vintage Rush 2112 concert t-shirt, and the numbers were warped around her large bosom. She also had on faded black jeans and a pair of studded combat boots. She appeared to be shivering, even though it was nice and warm in the cab. I stood there for a moment, staring at her in silence, waiting for her to acknowledge my presence. Eventually, she turned and smiled at me, and it was a smile I recognized immediately. That Cheshire grin I'd seen thousands of times before on the face of H's avatar, during the countless nights we'd spent together in the Oasis, telling bad jokes and watching bad movies. And her smile wasn't the only thing I found familiar. I also recognized the set of her eyes and the lines of her face. There was no doubt in my mind. The young woman sitting in front of me was my best friend, H. A wave of emotion washed over me. Shock gave way to a sense of betrayal. How could she, deceive me all these years? I felt my face flush with embarrassment as I remembered all of the adolescent intimacies I'd shared with H, a person I'd trusted implicitly, someone I thought I knew. When I didn't say anything, her eyes dropped to her boots and stayed on them. I sat down heavily in the passenger seat, still staring over at her, still unsure of what to say. She kept stealing glances at me, then her eyes would dart away nervously. She was still trembling. Whatever anger or betrayal I felt quickly evaporated. I couldn't help myself. I started to laugh. There was no meanness in it, and I knew she could tell that because her shoulders relaxed a bit and she let out a relieved sigh. Then she started to laugh too, half laughing and half crying, I thought. "Hey, H," I said once our laughter subsided. "How goes it?" "It's going good, Z," she said. "All sunshine and rainbows." Her voice was familiar too, just not quite as deep as it was online. All this time, she'd been using software to disguise it. "Well," I said, "look at us. Here we are." "Yeah," H replied. "Here we are."